Welcome to this episode of Thriving Through Menopause. I'm Clarissa Christensen, and today we're going to be talking about breathing. And you know, the very first book I ever read about mindfulness was called Breathe, You Are Alive, which I think is a wonderful title, but what would I expect other than from Thich Nhat Hanh, probably the greatest teacher of our time, who sadly passed away recently. But today I'm joined by a guest who works in the field of functional breathing. She is an advanced oxygen advantage instructor. She'll have to tell me much more about that, and a free driver. Welcome to the show, Tracy House.
Thank you very much, Clarissa. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's lovely to meet you. And we've had a quick chat before we went on to this episode, and I'm so fascinated by this whole field that you work in, which is functional breathing. Maybe begin at the beginning. How did you get involved with functional breathing, and what is it?
So functional breathing is all about how the body moves when we breathe and the interaction of CO2 and oxygen in the blood and how that chemical reaction affects the rest of the body, so the brain, the nervous system, everything. How I got into it, it was initially not something that I sought out as a career option. About 5 years ago, I started having severe panic attacks, and which really affected my sleep, and my anxiety levels increased quite dramatically, as you could imagine. And it's interesting because I've spoken to so many people, and those that have found breathwork or meditation have had quite similar experience to myself, where you have these unexplained occurrences where you consider yourself a fairly healthy individual, no serious health conditions. So it really sideswipes you in terms of, you know, your health, and it makes you feel, you know, uncomfortable, like there is something that you have no control over.
Yeah.
And a family member recommended meditation to me, and I'd never done meditation in my life. I had no idea what it was, what it felt like. You know, you just, you know, it's something of interest. How would you know? So I'm not someone to do anything by halves. So I found a 10-day silent meditation retreat, and I thought, well, if I'm going to learn how to do it, I may as well do it properly. So here we go. And yeah, it was a Vipassana retreat, which is, some people call it the boot camp of meditation, because you're really fighting with your mind the whole time, but it can be incredibly powerful, and it was for me. And that was my first foray into the power of nasal breathing, because that is what Vipassana is based on. And that was where my story started. In 2017.
Wow. Yeah. And that's quite hardcore, I'd say, as a meditation and mindfulness teacher. I have to say, Tracy, that usually we don't say to people, dive into Vipassana, because it is hard. I mean, 10 days in pretty much silence, focusing on things like your breath is really confronting, actually, for the Western mind, who has probably never done that before.
It felt like, yeah, the first few days were a shock to the system. You know, I was getting up at 5:30 in the morning. We were meditating for up to 8 hours a day, and by sort of day six, I was really at the end of my tether. And I remember, you know, you are allowed to speak to the instructor for a few minutes every day, other than nobody else. And I just said to them, it's not working. Why is it not working? Like, there was this expectation that something would happen. And he just said to me, just take it one day at a time. He was very calm, very patient. He said, don't think of the end result, just be present. And you know, that is a very challenging place to try to be if you have a typical racing mind, you're very anxious. And I came out of that experience, you know, by sort of day eight, I think I I guess you could say I had a breakthrough. Maybe I just, my nervous system calmed down and I just kind of surrendered to it. And
yeah,
I made some pretty big life-changing decisions afterwards, and it has brought me to where I am today.
Yeah, and I think that's very true, that when we do give ourselves a chance to stop and reflect and go inward, we do often make big changes in our lives. I mean, sometimes people have been said, oh, I ran away from a Vipassana retreat. It's not uncommon. But if you stay the course, as you did, Tracy, as you said, it was life-changing. Mm-hmm. But then you've moved into this space of functional breathing, and that is, if I'm right, quite different from the pranayamic breathing, the Kalabhati breathing that people may have heard of. Mm-hmm. What, you know, what is the difference in the way you practice it?
Well, I have to start with my sport, which is free diving, because as I'm about a year after the Vipassana retreat, I moved down to the coast. So I live near the sea now, which is, you know, being South African by birth, having grown up by the ocean, it was very important for me to come back to my roots. And I've been a scuba diver for many years, and I wanted to learn how to free dive because as a child, I would hold my breath underwater in the pool and just, I just found it very comforting. So I started doing free diving breath work. In other words, you know, very much focused on diaphragmatic expansion and building lung volume. Mm-hmm. And through my free diving research, I discovered a book called The Oxygen Advantage, which was written by Patrick McEwen back in 2015. And it was originally written for as breathwork for sport performance. However, there's a lot of information in that book around functional breathing, which was a term I hadn't heard of. And as soon as I read it, I was hooked because it made complete sense to me that it connected back to the Anapana or nasal breathing from the Vipassana. Mm. You know, there was the connection with free diving because of the fact that you've become more tolerant to CO2 and can therefore better manage your stress response. But the kind of person I am, I wanted to understand the science behind it. You know, why was it having this effect on the mind, on the body? So I discovered that I could become a certified instructor, and I literally, no pun intended, I did a deep dive and jumped in, and I qualified at the beginning of 2021, and I have been teaching ever since.
Fantastic. I mean, and it was interesting because when we first talked, I had literally just been listening to a webinar where Patrick's work was referenced as being so essential to managing stress and anxiety. And I thought, well, this is the universe syncing us together here for sure. You know, really, really fascinating. One of the areas, of course, you work with now is perimenopausal women. But as you said, why do the changes in our hormones or the hormone fluctuations impact, or how do they impact our breathing?
Well, this is quite new information. Patrick actually worked with female doctors to really dig deep into how women's breathing is different to men's and the hormonal impact that it has on our breathing. And whenever I share this information with, you know, female clients I'm working with, and, you know, I've got perimenopausal people who are going through the menopause and also postmenopausal, nobody's heard of it. So to be able to share it with a wider audience, I think, is absolutely crucial. But essentially, you know, as women, we have smaller lung volume, we have a smaller diaphragm, you know, and therefore our breathing structurally is different. But hormones, our sex hormones, progesterone and estrogen, as you know, this is what fluctuates during pregnancy, during the menstrual cycle, and of course, menopause. And the impact of hormonal fluctuation is that it actually causes us to hyperventilate. And I think when we say that word, you probably assume people are sort of breathing really heavily and it's very obvious. it's really minimal. Like, you wouldn't know. Your heart rate increases, your breath volume increases, and the body actually moves into more of a fight or flight state during this time. And it's the fascinating thing about menopause, now that they've discovered, is that progesterone has a specific effect on the strength of the upper airway muscles. So women who have never had sleep problems or anxiety in the past, when they start going through the menopause, they suddenly experience severe anxiety, or they snore, or they suddenly get insomnia, and they just, they've never had that before. So it is literally connected to the structural impact of the breathing muscles. And that's just one part of it. So part of what I teach is how we can retrain the body to breathe through the nose and strengthen those breathing muscles to alleviate symptoms. And there has been success with not just sleep and anxiety, but things like night sweats, hot flashes. There are specific breathing techniques you can implement on a daily basis to support yourself when you go through the menopause or pregnancy or menstrual cycle. And it is all about working with what you have, which is your blood chemistry and your muscles. So,
That's mind blowing, actually. But then we hear all the reported symptoms like, and sleep apnea. And I used to snore, and I was thinking, I never snored before. But yes, women snore, they have sleep apnea, they feel very anxious. When you say it, it makes logical sense for me that this would be what is actually going on. And retraining the muscles, I think, in this part of the body is becoming a more recognized tool, not just for breathing, but for things like gastric reflux as well, which is very common. This is all this kind of part of us, our esophagus, our trachea, this part of our body that in some way is impacted by the change in our hormones. Wow.
There is so much information starting to become available, but, you know, much of it was kept in white papers. And also, there were mainly male doctors researching women's health. So we're seeing now an increase in female doctors that are taking the reins and saying, actually, we are the best people to really talk about this because we're experiencing it ourselves. And it's interesting what you mentioned, that the range of different problems that we have in the body can be supported with breath work. For example, asthma, you know, let's take a very simple, obvious one. I have had clients who have been asthmatic all their lives, but are very sporty. And as soon as they started to retrain their breathing muscles, they were less reliant on their asthma pump, and their recovery after their sporting exercise improved dramatically. We also, you know, I'm able to track the data now through wearable technology. And a lot of my clients can improve their resting heart rate, which is key as we get older.
Yes.
But I'll just, you know, for example, fibromyalgia, migraines, chronic pelvic floor pain, panic disorder. These are all areas of our health that we can find solutions when you add breath work to clinical support. It's not a standalone solution for many people, but it certainly makes a difference. And we now have the medical evidence to support that, which I'm thrilled to share with people.
Yeah, I think that these things that are known probably in, shall we say, more ancient traditional ways of living and being can really dovetail with modern science. And I think breath is something that we haven't explored to its fullness at all. And I love that you are seeing results in your clients that are trackable and measurable, and that's being backed up by studies. And I think the more women-only studies there are as well, rather than extrapolating from men, Last time I looked, I'm not a small man, and I don't think any other woman is either, you know, but that we actually are structurally and functionally in many ways so different, is so important to being able to then tap into something that is essentially free.
And this is the challenge that I see. You know, I appreciate that what I do is quite niche at this time. You know, even with Patrick McEwan's, you know, prolific publications and his social media presence, there is still that kind of reticence, like, well, we breathe anyway, so actually what difference does it make? So there is that kind of thinking. Then you've got other people that are curious, which is where I come in, because curiosity drives them to find out more. And I think we're fighting with the fact that people know all about things like yoga, like meditation, like mindfulness, but they don't see breathwork necessarily in the same light. So part of my goal really is to take this message far and wide and say, this is an option. It's a natural solution. It works alongside, particularly with menopause, it works very well alongside HRT, which can reduce a lot of the symptoms, as you know. And empowering women, because at the end of the day, we need to learn how to look after ourselves. You know, you can't rely on medicine all the time. You can't. And I see that with my clients. You know, they say to me, I wish I'd known this years ago. It would have changed my life. But then they have the tools for life. And that for me is the goal. And you know, we're serving others to help them empower themselves. And understanding the science, I think, is important. Not everybody necessarily wants to, but I feel like, as I'm not a medical doctor, but I work alongside clinical psychologists, you know, NHS doctors in the UK, and even they've said to me, I've never heard of this. So that just shows you that this is such a new field, but the again, the research that we have, the evidence, the studies that are now being done with women are supporting this. So I'm hopeful, very hopeful.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that...
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This fits so well into a self-regulatory component of menopause, as you say, along with moving or yoga. And I have to say, practicing pranayamic breathing is quite different again. I mean, that requires a lot more. I think a lot of training, actually, to be able to do and do well. And you do it in very specific situations, in a very specific way. And we're not saying it doesn't work. It can be very beneficial. But again, that's different to the functional breathing, isn't it?
Absolutely. In the same breath, I would say it is possible to do yoga breathing without breathing through your mouth. And
absolutely.
You know, there are there's a book on the subject. It's just escaped my mind. It'll come back to me. It's called Restoring Prana. And it was written by Robin Rothenberg, a New York-based yoga teacher who is a practitioner of the Oxygen Advantage functional breathing techniques. And from what I've heard, she has the quietest yoga studio in New York because people go in, they don't breathe through their mouth, there's no heavy breathing. It's all focused on functional breathing through the nose combined with flexibility and of yoga, and it works hand in hand. So I'm sure there will be listeners that are devout yoga instructors or participants, but it is possible, and I use very specific yoga breathing techniques like Kapalabhati to improve my diaphragmatic flexibility for my free diving. So it's not, as I say, a standalone breath work technique. It sits alongside others. Even the Wim Hof breathing, you can bring these different techniques together, and they won't suit everybody. Some exercises will be much more challenging than others, but the basic functional breathing exercises, everybody has the ability to do them. Because if you asked me, how should I breathe on a day-to-day basis, the answer is light, slow, deep. From the nose and the diaphragm with a gentle pause after the exhale. And as simple as that might sound, the vast majority of people who breathe from their chest or are mouth breathing do not breathe that way. And it is, once they learn how, because it's like anything, training for a marathon, you're going to practice. Same with your breathing. So
same with anything. It's like learning to play the piano. It's like practicing mindfulness and meditation. All of these things are practice, and we have to learn how to do them.
Well, on mindfulness and meditation, I think this is another area that I think can be very challenging for individuals coming into breath work for the first time. Excuse me. I always say to clients, and I've actually had people say to me, please don't make me meditate. I just don't want to go down that road. And I know how challenging it was for me when I started, and it took a lot of practice. And I always say to them, look, I'm not a meditation teacher, but what I can do is teach you the breathing techniques to move you from one state into another. And you can be moved into a meditative state through the breath. So we start with something always that is tangible, which is the sensation of the breath. And we can all experience that. Some of us are perhaps more self-aware than others, but when they go through a program with me, self-awareness increases greatly because you start to really look at yourself and go, wow, I recognize I'm not doing X, Y, and Z, but I now have the tools to change that. So, for listeners who are thinking, oh, that sounds hard, I don't know if I can do that. Simple breathing techniques, and I'm happy to share one with you today on the podcast.
That would be
it's
great.
It's great to have something just simple to start with and see how you feel.
Exactly. And it's interesting, obviously a mindfulness practitioner, I get lots of people going, oh, no, that's too hard and I don't have time to do this. But actually breathing doesn't, techniques can be quite quick, can't they? Meditation practices can be short. And I agree that, getting into your breathing first drops you into the parasympathetic nervous system as the dominant part of your nervous system that's working, so that you are actually able to quieten that crazy mind that is sending you messages as you try to sit, and that, oh, you must do the shopping, and this is on my list, and I haven't paid this bill, and did I do the car insurance, and why are pugs coming into my head right now?
I think, that if you are a typical high-performing individual, and I see this with pro sports people, CEOs of companies, business owners, a lot of them have perfectionist tendencies and are typical racing mind, cannot, their mind is so distracted, and technology, of course, doesn't help. And when they find these techniques and they start to experience them for themselves, it can be absolutely revolutionary, because they don't think that they can do it, because they assume it's going to be like meditation or mindfulness. And I say to them, look, again, we start with the breath. And if you enjoy it and you want to develop your meditation technique, then I can certainly put you in contact with people who are specialists in that field. You know, it's a very adaptive process. You know, the body takes time to adapt. The nervous system has to learn that it's in a safe space. And individuals will have different reactions. You know, I've had people feel really tense and uncomfortable because they're not used to the level of discomfort when we do a breath hold, for example. And breath holds are a big part of what I teach. Not holding your breath for ages, you know, that's not, you know, but much more about short breath holds and knowing that in that pause, you are in control and the body is safe. And the benefit of that is that you're actually oxygenating your tissues more, which is counterintuitive in most people's minds. But the science will back that up, and the way you feel is what's going to drive you to continue. So,
I think we should practice, shouldn't we, Tracy, on the back of you describing all this, a short practice would be amazing. And listeners, join in with us to find out how this feels for you.
Well, I'm going to do a short exercise. It normally is 2.5 minutes, but I'm going to do it just for 90 seconds, just to give you a sense of what it is. It's a breathing recovery exercise that you can use before sleep, or if you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to sleep. It's also wonderful if you are training in sports performance, you're going to the gym, you're cycling, you're running, whatever you might be doing. Use it as your recovery exercise afterwards to bring the body back down, regulate that nervous system. I personally like to call it the 5-10 because it helps me remember it. So what we will do is you'll take a gentle inhale through the nose, passively exhale, hold our breath for 5 seconds, and then breathe normally for 10. And breathing normally doesn't mean breathing through your mouth. So your mouth remains closed at all times, but your breathing rate is just your normal breathing rate.
That's so good.
If I pop my timer on, I can do this with you. And for the listeners, ideally you want to be sitting up straight in the chair. Your lower back is supported. Shoulders are relaxed. Jaw is relaxed. I find it can be helpful to close your eyes and just relax into it. And of course, if you were in bed, you could do this lying down as well. So we're going to start with a gentle inhale through the nose and softly exhale. Hold your breath for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Breathe normally for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Take us a gentle inhale through the nose and a soft exhale. Hold your breath for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Breathe normally for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Take a gentle inhale and a soft exhale. Hold your breath for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Breathe normally for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Take a gentle inhale and a soft exhale. Hold your breath for 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bring your breathing back to normal. Keeping your eyes closed. Just allow the body to relax and move into your regular breathing pattern. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Well, I don't know. I'd love to hear comments and feedback from the listeners, but I just felt my tension kind of drop, you know, very, very quickly. I'm suddenly feeling like, which is great. But I loved, send me a comment, send me some feedback if you practiced along with Tracy and I there, because it was incredibly wonderful. I love it.
I'm so pleased. And I would also say if 5 seconds feels a little too challenging for some people, just hold your breath for 2 seconds. All we want to do is create a pause. And you don't need to go beyond 5 either, because we don't want to stress the nervous system.
That was a lot more accessible, actually, than the thing I did with on the webinar, where we suddenly went to how long can you hold it or whatever. And it was like, oh, Eddie was talking about, you know, 30 seconds and minutes and things like that. And I thought, wow, you know, that's strong. Mm-hmm. But this felt like, you know, you could move into this space and get going with it.
It is.
I love it.
It is all about down regulating and moving us from fight or flight into rest and digest. And as you know, a healthy nervous system is a balanced nervous system. We don't want to be living in fight or flight and being hyper aroused. And at the same time, we don't want to be living in rest and digest, where we just don't feel any energy or activity or desire to even move, perhaps. So this exercise can definitely, as you rightly said, it can just calm everything down. And as I said before, the breath holds are crucial because they help oxygenate the brain and tissues. And it's kind of a misconception. People think, oh, I'm holding my breath, I don't get enough oxygen. What's actually happening is carbon dioxide builds up in the blood rather than oxygen being, you know, depleted. And then there's a scientific process that takes place called the Bohr effect, whereby the hemoglobin proteins actually release more oxygen-rich oxygen cells into the blood. So, we have these tools, and when you understand how they work and the way they make you feel, you think, well, actually, I can do this every day. I can be, before I go to bed for 5 minutes, or, you know, I might be walking the dog. Maybe I can just hold my breath for a short period of time and then, you know, there are ways. It's a bit like habit stacking. You know, James Clear's book from Atomic Habits. You find ways to integrate your breathing into your day-to-day, and that's where we see the most success.
Yes, when we have, you know, the 5 minutes that you've given yourself at your desk, the as you said, the dog walking, the when you wake up, the before you go to sleep. And I have to say that breathing has been talked a lot about in the context of sleep. So perimenopausal women sleep badly, and this would certainly be one of the tools that I think that could be woven more into that, if that is your biggest issue, which we know, and as well as anxiety, of course, because, you know, if you've done this exercise and you are a hyper anxious person, particularly in perimenopause, this might just notch it down when it feels like it's taking your life over. Isn't that right, Tracy?
Absolutely. You know, perimenopause, as we know, you know, affects so many women unexpectedly. They don't think that they're going to go into menopause until they're perhaps in their 50s, and they've suddenly experiencing these symptoms in their 30s and 40s. And sleep, the breath, and the mind are correlated. They exist one without, they cannot exist without the other. So if your breathing is poor, it's going to impact your sleep. if your emotional regulation is poor, it's going to affect everything. So, you know, and one of the stats I'd share with you is that once women reach menopause, there's a 200% increase in the incidences of obstructive sleep apnea.
Yeah.
So it is high, you know, and it just very, very frustrating for women who've never had issues with that. So with sleep in particular, I teach a whole module on sleep hygiene and tools to support sleep in addition to the breathing exercises. So for example, we use mouth tape.
Yes, so that has become a very big thing here in Sweden where I live, to use mouth tape.
But not sealing the mouth shut. I think that's what people think, oh my gosh, I'm going to be claustrophobic. Yeah.
It's just over the lips, isn't it?
Around the lips, around the outside of the mouth.
Yeah.
A bit like kinesiology tape, where it works with the facial muscles to close the mouth.
So, yeah, that's so. And of course, if your mouth is closed, where can you breathe but through your nose?
Well, you won't snore through your mouth if it's closed. And, you know, the other issue with sleep is deviated septums, any kind of trauma around the nasal cavity. It could be genetic, it could be a medical intervention. So learning how to decongest the nose is just as important as taping the mouth. And we have exercises for that as well. You know, and these little tips are just, I think, when people understand the benefits, it will make such a difference to their quality of life, which I truly hope they... they will explore further.
I think so. And on that note, Tracy, how can people find out more about your work and connect with you and explore further?
Well, at the moment, I'm having a new website built, but I know you will pop a link into the show notes. You can find me on Instagram and you can find me on LinkedIn under my name, which is Tracy May Howes. And through my Linktree, you can email me. I do regular 6-week programs where we do a deep integration of how to manage the body using the Oxygen Advantage techniques to better to improve the, you know, your quality of breathing and life in general. I have monthly taster sessions on Zoom and I have people joining from all over the world. So, you know, that's an introduction to breath work. So if you're not ready to go down the deep route yet, you just want to know what it's about, you can join a taster session. And in the UK, I host live workshops and retreats as well.
So many brilliant ways, Tracy, to get in contact with you. And I, you know, I just love the work you're doing. I love the science that's building up here. And I would encourage all of the listeners to go to Tracy's information, start digging into this, start doing it. Start with a taster session. You've got a small snippet here and know that breath combined with other techniques could literally change your life and help you to go through perimenopause, but give you some tools also that you can use in the next stage of life. So it's not just for your perimenopause symptoms, but for life and the quality of your life.
And I'd be delighted to answer any questions. So please feel free, listeners, to reach out and I will do my best to support you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Tracy, for coming on Thriving Through Menopause and sharing some insights and fantastic passion around this new area of science.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Clarissa.